Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, now we got it going here. This is my song right here, Hugh. This is it right here.
What is this?
Ariana Grande, Break Up With Your Girlfriend.
See, I don't listen to her. I'm sorry. I'm kind of old man when it comes to this. I like the beat, though.
No, it's good. It's a good song.
I just can't see me riding around in the car listening to Ariana Grande, though.
Yeah, I mean, when you got a 10-year-old daughter.
Well, that's something.
You get those kinds of things. So it's all good. John Chuckreen for John Fricke. Hugh Douglas here in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio at 92.9 The Game. Headed toward the final hour of the show. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. We will get to a bunch of things in the 9 o'clock hour. There's a story I want to talk to Hugh about coming up in the next segment. This story about what California is looking at doing as far as potentially compensating college athletes for their likeness and image and all that good kind of stuff. So very interesting twists and turns that are going on there. Of course, getting you ready for Atlanta United action tonight. They will be in Toronto against Toronto FC. 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock kickoff. All the action right here on 92.9 The Game. Braves back at it tonight as well in Chicago, taking on the Cubs. Game 3 of 4 as teams have split the first two, Hugh, and trying to win tonight and maybe even take 3 out of 4 potentially from Chicago.
No, I'm with that. I'm with that, and you know, it's funny looking at the game last night. You think that there is going to be the possibility that that's going to be the case.
Braves 5.5 games up in the division as Philadelphia did win again last night. If you didn't see, they've taken the first two again. I used to do this with that guy that's running around out there.
What's that?
In the bullpen area? Hold on. Hold on. I didn't even get to introduce it. Can I at least get to introduce this and set this up? Okay.
He was just ready to go trying to get out of that.
So I used to do this with Randy McMichael, but since Riggs and Murtaugh broken up and split up and I'm having to do Passion of the Christ and Braveheart and Ransom and all these other movies and The Patriot and all that, I'm having to go do my own movies out there. So you're my de facto partner here, for this whole week. So we used to do something that we're going to call this Pick Hugh's Brain. Now you can play the music horn. This is a Snake Eyes. Of course, Ace is high, locked in, as we like to do. How you doing, Oren? Hugh Douglas, of course, Pride of Mansfield, Ohio, 70 miles west of where Chuckery grew up. HBCU Hall of Famer, 3-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All-Pro. The man who stole Jim Miller's soul in a playoff game, former Chicago Bears quarterback. And, of course, he is the star of Happy Birthday, Harris Maldon. And you can find, you know, Hugh is on IMDb, by the way. So
I did a few things.
Yeah.
I did an episode of Arliss where I bought some beef.
Oh, okay.
Because I was all about the cattle back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Speaking of beef, your favorite Sam Jackson movie. Favorite Sam Jackson movie. This is 10 questions, by the way, for a member of Team Half.
Favorite Sam. Favorite I would Sam have to Jackson. Say, wait a minute. He was Gator when he first started out. What was that? White, wait a minute, no.
Wait a minute,
what was the movie? Orin the Sigma, help me, when he was Gator. And he was Wesley Snipes' brother. When he was dating the white lady. Jungle Fever, I couldn't think of the name.
Oh, Jungle Fever.
Dang, okay. How could I not know that? I was about to say something stupid. I'm glad you said it.
Well, he said he was dating a white girl.
But so. No, I was about to say something even stupider than that. But yeah, that movie, Jungle Fever.
All right. Is that your favorite Sam Jackson, Jungle Fever?
Yeah, because it was like that. That is what really kind of introduced us to Sam Jackson. Now, he's been in a few other movies, but when he was Gator, well, no, I'm talking about before that, before he became actually, you know, Sam Jackson. When he was Gator and he was doing the dance, like, he was Gator was funny. He was funny as Gator.
Give me your favorite Major League starting pitcher of all time. Your favorite Major League starting pitcher of all time.
I would probably have to say, and the reason why I say this, because I was in Philly at the time when he got there, and I saw how the city just loved this guy, Roy Halladay.
Oh, yeah.
Roy Halladay, man. He was that dude.
He was that dude. Speaking of, you know, when you talk about having one of those guys.
He was that guy.
Yeah, he was that
guy. But you're talking about what? You had Jamie Moyer. Mm-hmm. Jamie Moyer was like a knuckleball pitcher.
Yeah, threw by 14 miles an hour.
Yeah. Like, you talk about Cole Hamels.
He pitched until we were this age.
Yes.
You know, like he was and our age now is
respect.
What he was pitching to.
Flash Gordon was pitching, too.
Yes, Tommy Gordon.
Yeah, Tommy Gordon was pitching. Yeah, those guys. Like, but Halladay, when he came. Yeah, it was a different animal.
Yeah, he was. He was a beast. All right, rank these barbecue types. Mustard barbecue, vinegar barbecue, dry rub barbecue, or wet barbecue. Rank them.
I like it wet. Wet first.
Save that, Orin. Oh, sorry, we don't do that on this.
Dry rub.
Show. All right, so hold on. Wet is one.
Dry rub.
Wet one.
Dry rub.
Two. Dry
What's
rub.
That mustard.
Mustard and vinegar.
And vinegar, yeah.
So mustard three, vinegar four.
Yes.
Okay. Why do you hate vinegar so much?
I just do. I just think of, when I think of vinegar, I think of somebody who don't really know how to cook ribs and they put too much vinegar on them. Like way too much
If
vinegar.
It's cooked right, the vinegar's pretty good. But yeah. I'm actually mustard based. I like the Carolina mustard.
I like the wet, because I think Fat Matt's does the wet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they do, yes.
And they kill them. Yeah. They kill them. Yeah. Shout out to Fat Matt.
You like a wet Fat Matt.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Wet
how
Fat
does
Matt's.
That work?
Fat
Hi, Orin.
Fat Matt's is good.
How's it going, Orin? It is Pick Hugh's brain, as I'm asking Hugh 10 questions to learn a little bit more about our member of Team Have. All right. Tell me about a guy who put a block on you that just completely blindsided you.
Ooh, completely blindsided me?
Mm-hmm. You had to take a blindside block from somebody at one point.
No, but or in the stigma in my ear say Larry Allen, but that was more like a blindside block. That was more like I'm in your face and I'm about to fold you like a tent block. That was something totally different. Like, I saw that coming and still couldn't do anything about that.
Larry Allen was one of those guys who stole people's souls,
man,
didn't
listen,
he?
There, like, just if you have time at work, just Google Larry Allen and who was Ellis Johnson at the time when he played for the Indianapolis Colts. And the John Madden commentary was ridiculous. Cause you talk about a soul stealer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he violated this dude for four whole quarters.
Yeah.
Like, Larry Allen was that guy.
No, Larry Allen.
Larry Allen was that dude that when he was on the field, like defensive linemen were scared of this cat.
Yeah, I've still
like
talked
to
you. I mean, when you talk about, like, if I'm putting together my greatest offensive line in history, Larry Allen's one of the guards. I mean, John Hannon and Larry Allen, the two guards.
Let me tell you, Larry Allen was so about that life. Larry Allen used to be on the field. Now, you know, it's hot. You know, all the energy that you exert playing football. He would be out there with a full dip of tobacco in his mouth, laughing and giggling, just taking whatever he wanted from you, running your pockets, taking your lunch money, and doing whatever he wanted to do
now,
to you.
Did somebody ever kind of hit you when you weren't looking, like a get it blindside block? Somebody had to have gotten you at one point, and you got up and said,
"You know what
that
it was? It was a receiver from Washington. I can't remember his name though. I got blindsided by him, and I remember the whole game. I was trying to get him back, never got him back. I can't remember what his name. Another guy was Brian Mitchell. Brian Mitchell did that. And it wasn't so much a blindside block, but one of the best chip blockers that ever played football on the NFL level. If anybody ever played against this guy, his name was Larry Sinners.
Oh, played yeah, yeah.
Larry Sinners.
Yeah, he was a great fullback. You know,
Larry Sinners
didn't
was
he catch a... Didn't he catch 100 passes one year as a
I
fullback?
I think so, yeah. Played for the Cardinals. That
yes.
Year, I think it was.
Yes.
Larry Sinners was the best chip blocking fullback in the NFL that I've ever played against. Larry would take your shoulder off.
What year was this Washington wide receiver? What year?
I would probably say 98.
98. Okay. I'm just curious. Let's see.
Dog. But Larry Sinners
would
take your shoulder. Like, Larry Sinners one time hit me with a chip block. I never was one of those guys. I didn't care about the chip block. I would try to run through it when you're trying to pass rush. But Larry Sinners had a way where he would get up under you and he would take your soul.
Yeah, I think he caught 100 passes.
Yeah, he was a beast.
Brian Mitchell, Michael Westbrook, Leslie Shepard, Stephen Alexander, Jamie Asher, Albert Cannell. Any of those names sound familiar? James
Thrash?
No, not
at all. No, I wasn't James Thrash. But I forgot who it was.
Could it have been 97?
No, it was 98. That was my first year.
Yeah, well, that's everybody on Washington.
I can't remember who it was, but I remember him chip blocking me, and I wanted to fight him, like, for real fight. Like, for real. Like, out after the game, wanted to fight him because he took me clean off my feet.
What's your favorite golf course?
I don't have one. I don't play golf.
But you had to have had a golf course that you either played or something you liked.
Oh, you know what? I tell you, I liked because the cart girl, when I went, she went to the house that got tequila. It was Ohika Castle.
Okay.
In Long Island.
Okay.
And if you look it up, dude, that's a nice golf course. Nice place to stay, like hang out or whatever. Ohika Castle in Long Island.
You're the running back that you hated to try to tackle when they came at you.
Emmitt Smith. Pratt brother, Phi Beta Sigma. Like, I remember in the same game when Larry Allen folded me like a tent, Emmitt Smith almost broke my arm, like tore my arm out of the socket because it was a lead play. And, you know, at that time, that Dallas Cowboy line was moving the crowd.
Yeah.
And it was a TE stunt, ET stunt where the tackle goes first, mm-hmm. and then I loop around and come in the hole. So the tackle went inside, Hollis went
How'd
inside.
That go?
Dude, Emmitt coming through the hole, right? And so I'm coming around, and I'm almost there. And so my instinct is to try to grab him. But I wasn't in position because I wasn't in position to actually make the tackle. So he's coming through the hole full head of steam, and I went to grab him. And when I grabbed him, I had a nice little chunk of jersey. And I remember he was running so fast, he almost yanked my arm out the socket. So much so that I had to come to the sideline. Man, what the hell was that little fella? Yeah, that one.
Did that sell you on never wanting to defend the run again?
Yeah, I was like, you know what? Y'all can kiss my whole entire after that one. You kiss my whole entire.
You could take me off the field.
You count me out. You count me out. I'm not doing that again. There's no money in this. There's no money in playing the run. Of course not. Not doing
your
that.
Your three favorite female singers of all time. Three favorite female singers of all time.
Shaka Khan, because of that hair. Like back in the day.
You like that reddish. Big
man,
hair, huh?
Listen.
Yeah.
Shaka Khan was fine when she was young.
Yeah. She's a big girl now, huh?
Kind of big. She's still holding it down.
She's beyond duck butter, isn't she?
Ooh, In Vogue. In Vogue. All four of them.
Give me an individual singer. So we got Shaka Khan. Got to be individual female singer. No, In Vogue is like a whole group.
No, but I'm saying all of them. What's the name? The Dawn chick. Dawn was fine.
Did you know them?
No, I didn't. Tried to meet him, though. Listen, you talk about when I was trying to use that, my influence to meet somebody. Yeah,
yep.
I did that. I was that guy.
Uh-huh.
Who else? Single singer that I liked when I was growing up?
Anyway, your three female singers, favorite ones.
Who else did I like that was a singer? I can't think of anybody right now, Chuck.
Anybody new? I mean, anybody newer? Like Beyonce or anybody? I mean,
ooh, Ciara.
Like Ciara.
Like the video she did with Reggie Bush, that was pretty that was pretty dope.
Okay.
Ooh, what's the one that's married to Shumpert? I just like her because I don't like her until she speak. Man, I can't think of her name.
She's married right now to Iman Shumpert?
Is it married to Shumpert? She got a little girl. I can't think of her name. Tiana Taylor. She got a tight little frame. I sounded real creepy saying that. Like when it came out of my mouth and Orr just kind of gave it a thumbs up. Yeah, he sound real creepy. I'm just saying. She's a nice, until she opens her mouth, like until she speaks, and then it's like, it just kills it for me. Because she has like a New York, like raspy.
She was nominated twice for a BET award the other night.
Yeah. Tiana, she seemed like she's a really cool girl.
That's not what you said. You said she got
a tight frame.
Tight frame.
She tightly framed up. Just saying.
Okay. Best college football uniform of all time as we pick Hugh's brain.
Best college, anyone that Oregon does. Like, they have some of the best uniforms in college football. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Oregon was the one that kind of ushered in that era.
Andy Bunker's going to hate you for that.
And he doesn't because he think I'm jinxing Oregon. But, no, Oregon, to me, if I'm wrong, please, you know, on Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line or on my Twitter feed, correct me. But Oregon was the school that ushered in the era of multiple jerseys, multiple helmets, and things of that nature, I think, because that was Chip Kelly was the first one to see do it. And that's what kind of enticed the kids to want to go to Oregon. That's kind of when they came on the scene, when they started doing stuff like that. They changed the game. So I'm going to say Oregon.
So we're in a plane that's about to crash. It's me, you, Oren, and Abe. You got a parachute, and there's only two others. Which two of us get it? Me, Abe, Oren.
Oren gets one first because that's frat. You know, frat got to look out for frat. Frat get one.
I wanted Oren to get crashed. So it's me or Abe.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. because like me and you are cool. Like Abe's cool. Abe has done, like, if you know me and our me and Abe's relationship, Abe's been a little bit of a snob since day one. Me and Abe have come to a meeting of the minds, and we've gotten better. But Abe's a little bit of a snobby dude. He's like an elitist, if you will. He's an elitist type of person. Cool people. Hey, Abe, I like you, man. But I guess we're gonna miss Chuck, man, because I'm gonna go ahead and give it to Abe, man.
Oh, wow.
Because of our buddy relationship.
Wow. So I go down. Wow.
No, you still. Hey, listen, if we can figure it out, we'll take you with us.
No, sounds like it. Wow.
I'm just saying.
Wow, Oren got a parachute. That's disappointing.
I mean, because that's Frat, though. Frat get it. Yeah. He get blue fire.
Okay.
Till I die. Then he get it. He gonna get a parachute.
Randy was gonna let him burn in a building in RKO.
I don't know, because like the reason why, I'm not saying that you don't do it, but Abe rubs me in the wrong way, but it's in a good way because he speaks
so
his
mind. So I rub
you
the wrong way now. Okay,
no,
thanks.
No.
All right. But what I'm saying, we will delve into all of this,
boy, this
when we get
this one. This one got bad for me.
All right. Okay. Mr. Spiritual Advisor. When we come back,
you still my dog, though.
Sounds like it. Yeah, you're going to kick
me
to the
this?
Curb.
We're all going to go down together.
I'm the dog you take out on the hot pavement. When we get back.
And you know, you're about to change your way because you got a date. You be dating now, so you about to flip the script. You about to be dating. So it's just going to be me, Oren, and Abe now hanging out.
California wants to pay college athletes for their image and likeness. How's this going to go over? We'll explain that story next. John Trickman for John Fricky, Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
But Abe rubs me in the wrong way, but it's in a good way.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, it is the morning show. Hugh Douglas in for John Fricky this morning is the man who would crash and burn in an airplane and not have a parachute and would be just, you
I'm
know.
Just, saying,
just, you know, my poor daughter wouldn't have a father anymore, but that's okay. It's cool, man. You got two guys back there got no kids. It's cool, man. My daughter doesn't need a father. Just tell her about how good a guy I was, Hugh, right at the end.
I think they aspire to be daddies one day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't hold that against
them. Just tell her how good a daddy I was and how good it was.
I mean, and
that's
plus,
all right, that's cool,
and
Hugh.
Plus, let's be honest, man. You're dating now. Like, it's only a matter of time before you stop hanging with the fellas. Like, seriously, it's going to be me, Abe, and Oren. Well, maybe Oren, because Oren's dating now, too. But me and Abe, for sure.
No, Oren's always out there dating. He's always out on them streets. I've seen him at concerts, man. I've been to concerts with Oren.
I think you're on your way now.
He's serious now.
I think you're on your way to having a serious relationship. Yeah.
Oh,
dude,
Lord.
You're going on a third date. That's awesome.
Is that what normal people do?
No.
It's not?
Well,
oh,
for me personally, it's
really?
Like one
three
one
dates
and done.
Is a lot, really.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It's for me. It's one and done.
Wow.
Because I get to show my buttocks on that first date, and they're like, you know what?
That's because they don't. Is that because they don't want you back, or you don't want them back?
Well, I hear sometimes you need to grow up. I hear a lot of that, or I hear a lot of that. How old are you again? And you know, it's the end of that.
Yeah, but see,
it's
okay.
The end of that.
Here's the difference. Like when you sit down with a date. Is there a two? Does her age start with the number two?
No, it's more like a three.
Okay.
It's like a three.
Okay.
But, and I say that this is the disclaimer. Hey, listen, I work on radio, and I get a lot of texts. So if I'm on my phone, you have to excuse me. This is my job. I don't, like, my mind's on my money, and my money's on my mind.
So, like, kind of what
I'm
happened.
I'm on the phone.
So, like, what happened to me last night is I'm sitting there having dinner, and, like, 14 text messages came through.
Oh, I'm looking
night.
At those texts.
Literally. Well, I wasn't.
Excuse me, miss. I need to do this because we're getting you doing show. Especially if it's during the week or we're doing show prep.
Yeah,
so
you gotta
understand
news for
that.
Y'all were secondary last night, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and as it should be in an active, normal person's life. But this is what I do, and this is how my mind works, and I understand wholeheartedly why I am by myself. Because for you to try to chastise me about being on my phone, you're messing with my bottom line, and I have an ex-wife in alimony that I have to pay. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna go ahead and make sure that these checks keep flowing. So when you start talking about me not being on my phone, you are being real disrespectful to my wallet. So that means that you are not gonna make the cut. So I'm already, like, when you start doing stuff like that, you've already put me in a foul mood. So this is good to say that this is probably going to be our last day because now you're messing with my money. No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Did you really just rationalize it in that way, Hugh?
See, and I know, listen, I know I'm flawed and I know I have issues. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm okay with that, though. I think when you're dating, most people fall, this is where they have the problem and this is where they fall short because they're not comfortable with their shortcomings. And they can't identify them. No, that's a better one. They can't identify their shortcomings. I know mine. I know them. And I'm okay with them. I'm working on that. Some people don't know theirs, but I know mine. And I will take that long way around to make that, you know, I make those two pieces stick together. Because if you're telling me about being on my phone, that my phone is directly tied to me making my cash. And if that's the case, then we can't hang out. Or wow. This is another one.
This is fascinating.
Or this is another one.
Stuff.
Like, the radio is my job.
Yes.
And, you know, to a certain extent, we have to be transparent on the air. So don't come asking me about some stories that I'm telling if I don't use specific names. Don't do that. Don't say, well, what do you mean when you were talking about this? Hold up. It's my job. Don't question me about that. Like, I'm real cut and dry. And that does not work well for a lot of people.
Well, I use specific names, and that didn't go very well for me.
Yeah, it doesn't. Sometimes, see, you would think that some people like the fact that you're being, you know, anonymous.
No, but they like the attention. They just don't want the.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. I tried to tell you, man. I tried to tell you.
I know.
I tried to tell you.
I know.
But yeah, I know why I'm not dating. I mean, it's no secret. I tried that. You know, it was cool in the beginning. Then it became, well, I don't ever mention your name on the air. And I'm like, hold up. Who you talking to like that? Okay, well, that's fine. Talk to you later.
It is kind of fun, though. Like I said, last night we, you know, ran into a couple of listeners and stuff like that. So that's always fun when you get to, you know, you meet people and stuff like that. And that you know, I'm not going to lie, that looks kind of good, you know, when people, you know, when you meet people out and you're with somebody and they, you know, like, hey, yeah, I listened to you and Hugh this week and all that kind of stuff. All right, thanks. And that was
Kind of, I mean, it's cool. Yeah. It's cool. But this is where, see, this is the problem that I found, like, doing this. It's cool until it isn't. It's cool to a woman when it's in the beginning until it isn't.
Yes.
And then this is the thing that I hate, and a lot of women do this, especially if they listen to the show. And if you're dating and they listen to the show, you might tell a story, an entertaining story, and you might piece different parts together to try to keep the names of the innocent protected.
Mm-hmm.
They will listen to that story and try to piece together what you've been doing or try to figure out, oh, so you're seeing somebody else. Did I say that? Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Like, listen, if you're insecure, then we don't probably need to date. Because I can't do, like, as a caveman, that doesn't work well for cavemen. You can't be insecure. So, it I know I'm simplifying it, but if you're questioning me about something that I said on air, you're a tad bit insecure for me. I don't do insecure women well.
Well, even though you're going to have me crash in an airplane and die and never be around anymore.
That was a hypothetical situation, though. If it makes you feel better, Chuck, I would try to land the plane.
I mean, you know, I have to, like, be Indiana Jones and see if there's a life, if there's a boat, and I'll just inflate it in the air and try to jump out.
That's what I'm saying.
I know you don't.
I would do, because I have my smartphone with me.
How about this? Next
I will
week,
Google
Hugh,
how to land a
how
plane.
How about this, Hugh? Next week when you're in the rice paddies with your M16 jamming up, okay, on Hamburger Hill, okay? And you can think, you know, Chuckery wasn't so bad. Maybe Chuckery wasn't so bad.
I will Google how to land a plane, Chuck. I will save us all.
You know it's his personal
Vietnam. Save us all. Or I will land in the water. That usually works. Or I will land in the water. That works. Sully Sullenberger. Yeah. I can do that. I can pull a Sully Sullenberger.
So, just listen, I'll give you my daughter's number. That way you can call her and tell her, yeah, daddy had to go.
My man Josh Rainey said, you know how to put that phone up when there's a dime sitting across from you. Josh, I don't. Like, I've been in situations where I've been, like, literally cussed out for some of the stuff that I did. I got cussed. One time I went on a date. We had the concert for V103 at the train station. So I asked the young lady, I said, hey, would you like to come to this concert with me? Yeah, Daniel Caesar concert. Asked her to come to the concert with me.
Mm-hmm.
Said, fine. I said, and I told her it was during a weekday. I said, listen, you're more than welcome to come, but I am not going to stay there that long because I have to get up early. She was okay with that. So she said, I'll meet you there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine. So I go, like, it started at like 7 o'clock. So I'm there at 7 o'clock. She doesn't get there till like 8:30, 9 o'clock. You didn't ride with me. You're not my responsibility at that point. So she comes in, I usher her in, and she's at the concert. I say, hey, have a good night. I go home. It's 9 o'clock. I got to go to work.
Well, that's a little.
She
shouldn't have been that
pissed.
Late. Yeah,
but she was pissed. Like she said, "How dare you did it?" I said, "Wait a minute, you didn't ride with me, and you didn't ride with me, and it started at 7."
Right. Now look, I'm on your side on that. If we're talking an hour and a half, 2 hours late,
was super pissed.
Okay, then that's on her. Now, if it's like 20, 30 minutes or something,
oh, no.
And you don't wait, that's a different
thing. And she was mad, and she told me, never call me again. I was like, hey, have a good one. I mean, that's not my fault.
Yeah, you invited her to the concert.
That wasn't my fault, but she didn't see it that way.
Right.
She did not see it that way.
But that happens, though. Things like that happen.
Yeah, but I didn't see why she was that upset, but she was hot. She was definitely hot. I mean, I ushered her in, I bought her a drink, and then I went home. Because it's time, I got to go to bed. I got to go to work.
Yeah.
She did not find that amusing at all. So, you know, hey. So I just choose to kind of like, you know, just do what the caveman do and just, you know, hang out on my own, you know, go hunt every now and then and lift weights and come to work. And that's about it. It works well for me.
Well, listen, I'm still going to keep you as my spiritual advisor.
Yeah, I mean, but you're dating now, so it's going to change for you pretty soon.
You say all that,
but
listen.
You're going to be going down to, King of Pops.
I'm hanging out in that area of town where I ain't got the cachet to hang out.
You're
going to
go to King of Pops. See, you're worrying about the wrong thing. You got to go to King of Pops, get the designer popsicles, and you're going to be taking walks in the park. You're going to be getting Krispy Kreme, his and her donuts with the little hearts and stuff.
Oh, my God.
And you're just going to be winning. It's a good, beautiful
thing, I can't keep
up
with those people up where
she's
at.
No, see, Chuck, I'm trying to help. I'm your spiritual advisor, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're worried about the wrong thing. Just have fun dating. Be creative.
Oh, yeah, that's what I am.
That's it.
I'm just having fun.
So don't worry about where you're dating
at. I'm not worried about all the other stuff.
Yeah,
no.
Don't bring it up then. Don't talk about it.
Considering all the craziness I've been dealing with, I mean, I'm just take it for what it is. You know, and I'm going on vacation next week.
I'm headed to
Florida and to the beach. And
then you come back and you're on a date. You're winning. You're winning right now. It's summertime. You got your little pastel colors on.
Oh, yeah.
You are winning.
Yeah.
This is the best time.
I had the lavender button down shirt last night.
You're winning.
Just for Orn.
And you're getting ready for like
no cuffing. $3 bills in it, Orn.
When cuffing season comes around, you're going to be good to go.
When does that officially start?
Oh, it's like October.
Let me ask you this. November. I've been thinking about it. Should I go get a pair of white pants?
Linen? Linen pants for what?
I don't know. Summertime.
You know what's funny? I'm not a fan of white clothing because on a dark skinned brother, it's hard to tell when it gets like dingy. You can't like if you're wearing dingy white, that's the worst thing you could do for your self esteem.
Right.
And as a dark skinned brother, like when you wash it, like this is the rule with white anything. Wash it once and be done with it. Like that's it. And if you get anything in it, it's probably a wrap.
What's the most you ever paid for like a pair of pants or a shirt?
True Religions. What's that? Was it about $200? That's about it
for a shirt.
I don't wear them. I wear t-shirts. I'm a t-shirt guy. I had to get the shirt made. You know they're pretty expensive, but outside of that, no.
All right.
Versace or something. No, I ain't buying
that. So we will get to this NCAA story because it is pretty cool. I want to talk about this. Hey, join Hugh Douglas, Rob Tribble, 92.9 The Game this Saturday. Wow, Hugh, you're going to be out and about. Broadcasting at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, noon to 3. Hang out with 92.9 The Game for lunch and enjoy delicious band food and cold beer. Join us this Saturday from noon to 3 at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We will talk about this California law that got passed about compensating athletes. Hugh Douglas, the man that's going to burn up in flames in an airplane, John Chuckery, in for John Fricke. He's going to just let me perish. We'll talk about all that next from the Kia Studios. It is Sports Radio 910 The Game. Hanging out at the Kia Studios till 10 o'clock. This is the morning show on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Hugh Douglas, his former Ohio brother, because I'm up in flames in a plane.
That was a hypothetical. No, you're here talking to me right now on the show.
Okay.
You've been a little sensitive, Chuck. You've been a little sensitive. That's kind of what happens when you start dating.
No, normally Orin is the guy who gets pushed out of all the airplanes and RKO'd and burn up in buildings and everything. So
that's what dating does. That's what dating does for you. Makes you sensitive.
Okay.
You got to keep that edge about you, Chuck.
404-741. You know, I thought it was bros before.
Pretty soon you're gonna come in and be like, you know what? What's bugging Chuckery? Nothing's bugging me. I'm feeling really good today. I'm having a really great day. He's gonna start. Yes, you're gonna start talking like this, and you're gonna be real calm.
It's gonna be like what's pleasing Chuckery.
Yes,
you're gonna
be like, you know what, Hugh Douglas, you're right. I totally agree.
Yeah,
you're gonna be real agreeable.
Yeah, okay.
In a couple weeks, you're going on a third date, man. That's pretty impressive. I'm proud of you.
Listen, I mean, you
hang
in
there, brother.
You tell me next week when the M16 jams, how it's all going.
You're gonna stop saying jabroni. You're gonna stop.
No, she likes, actually, you know what's funny? She loves when I say that.
Is that right?
Yeah, she loves when I use those words like scafozo and jabroni and all that.
You're going to change, though. So. You ain't going to hang out with the bros anymore, though. That's how it is, man. You know, like me, I can say, me and Randy and Michael, we're really cool, but Randy is happily married, and it's like, you know, it's only so far. Like, you know, it's only so far you can hang when your friends are happily married and you're not. there's only so much wiggle room that you
right.
have.
Right.
So, yeah, it's like, hey, Brandon, how you doing, brother? All right, then you take hold it down. That's about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I am, especially with my track record, ain't nobody wife about to let their husband hang out with me for an extended period of time. Because they know it's potential for something to go wrong.
Somebody could have a baby out of that whole thing.
Yeah, something might happen. I don't know about that, but I'm just saying. Something might happen. And so they're like, I'm like bad news when it comes to that. I need to come around, like, if I'm in a relationship. I need to have a relationship before I'm allowed to hang out with my married friends. Because, like I said, I got a bad track record. This is a bad track record. I'm just saying. But I know who I am, though, so I'm cool with that.
At BigHugh53, at JamesH316 yeah, on Twitter. So in the state of California, Hugh, the California Assembly's Arts, Entertainment, Sports, Tourism, and Internet Media Committee passed a bill that would allow college athletes in the state to make money off their own name, image, likeness, and such beginning in 2023. The vote was 5 in favor, 1 not voting, and 1 that was absent. So now the bill will move to the California Assembly's Higher Education Committee. That committee must approve the bill by July 11th for it to remain alive this year. So what California is trying to do, Hugh, is basically take things that have happened in the Supreme Court when it comes to compensating collegiate athletes and allowing them to take their likeness and image and things like that, whether it was from video games or uniforms, I should say jerseys and things like that, and allow them to be compensated. Well, the NCAA has completely pushed back on this. In a letter to the chairs of two state assembly committees last week, NCAA President Mark Emmert implied that if the bill becomes law as it is written, California schools could face the prospect of being prohibited from participating in NCAA championships. That includes 23 NCAA Division I schools, 4 of which are in the Pac-12 conference. So here's kind of, you know, I say this all the time. I am pro the athlete. And by the way, I don't like the student athlete thing because they're minor league athletes is what they really are. But we are at a point here where I always say, everybody in the world of collegiate athletics, everybody, presidents, NCAA, ADs, school administrators, everybody has profited off the success of collegiate athletics,
but the
except for one group.
Yes.
And that's you guys on the front line.
Yeah, and that's what it always is. And the funny thing about it, you're always replenishing that talent pool every year by going out and get these top class, mm-hmm. top-notch talent and top-notch players, and you're just keeping the train running. And sometimes these players, they fall short. They don't work out and become guys that you know, become productive citizens or make it to that next level. But you're still turning out those athletes, and you're still getting the kickbacks. You talk about USC and the money that all of those people were making from
yeah.
those kickbacks that the parents were giving
yep.
to get kids into school.
The water polo coaches,
yeah.
for gosh sakes.
And it's an unfair thing, man. But playing devil's advocate here, you'll have people – on the flip side, that say you're getting something that is worth more than money, and that's a great education. Yeah, I mean, that's fine, but what about all of those kids that have dreams of playing in the pros and they don't make it, and you've used them up for whatever reason?
Right.
And you used them up. So it's one of those things, man, where it's I find it interesting, and this is how I tie it in. I find it interesting that all of this is being talked about now on the heels of the NCAA investigation of college basketball and some of that leaking over into college football. But as of right now, Chuck, there hasn't been a whole lot of noise made about the college football aspect of it, because there's been people that have been with their on audio tape that have pointed out different programs that they said that they've been basically kicking these kids back and paying them money.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's really talking about that right now.
Well, I think where we're at, Hugh, from a culture standpoint, is that the amount of money that is flowing into collegiate athletics, every time you turn around, there's a new TV deal. You know, and now the ACC network is about to start up, Hugh. So they're going to start getting – the ACC is going to start handing out even more money to its member schools. And you see the success of these different networks and schools working deals and the TV con. There's so much money, Hugh – that is flowing into collegiate athletic departments that it used to be you could say that when the money wasn't there, we can't afford to pay everybody. But now when you know, the NCAA, which is a nonprofit organization, is basically churning around $800 to $900 million a year in revenue for a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to be kind of ridiculous after a while to say that, well, why shouldn't that guy that's the running back for Southern Cal be able to sell his ring, sell his jersey, sign autographs, and make money and capitalize like everybody else? You know, like, for instance, you said Southern Cal. Do you know what Lynn Swann has done? Lynn Swann was flying out to Virginia to do autograph signings for like $50,000, $60,000, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the guy who's supposed to stand in front of all these athletes as the athletic director of Southern Cal and say, oh, no, you can't make money off your name and likeness and image.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm flying to Virginia.
Making money for signing
going
my name.
Making money by signing my name, yeah. Lynn Swann Hall of Fame and all that. And you can say, well, he's a retired professional. But wait a second. That's the guy who's supposed to explain to those kids why they shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Yeah, and then you think about some of the places that some of these kids come from and the hardships that they had to endure to get to school and to see, like, certain people live in a certain way off of the backs of your sweat. Like, a lot of people, they compare it to like, legalized slavery. I mean, really. Because when you talk mm-hmm. about the fact that the kids are the ones that are putting in all the work and you're reaping all the benefits, your school's reaping all the benefits, and when they're all used up, like, some of them get the chance to go to the pros. But for the most part, your best bet to make it out of that situation is to, when you go to school, get as much out of them as they are getting out of you. And that's the way you do it. But some guys don't take advantage of that situation.
It's the hour of the show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. Yeah, it's a weird dichotomy of where we're at in the world of collegiate athletes. Because I personally, Hugh, don't like the term student athlete anymore. Because if you're talking football, basketball, those are minor league athletes. The pro leagues have used them as minor league athletes and used them as in a minor league system. They don't use them. They don't look at – the NFL doesn't look at those kids as student athletes. They look at them as minor league systems that we can farm our talent and they can develop before we bring them onto our facilities. So, all right, when we get back, we will hand off to
– Andy Randy coming up next.
Hugh Douglas, Burn Up in a Plane, John Chuck, refilling it for John Fricke. It's all next, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.